Today's Shir Masechta Saita Daf Tes. We will begin on Daf Chesamud Beis, six lines from the Ban Tanya Hay Rabbi Aimer. Says the Gemara Tanya Hay Rabbi Aimer, Rabbi teaches us Menayin, Shabamidish Adam, Moided Ba. The way we behave, Moided Maloy, that is the way we are treated. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Besasa Beshalcha Terevena. The Gemara says, Besasa, the same type of vessel that was used to measure, that's going to be used against us. The Sefer Avramas Einov asks the question, as we learn the sugyas here about a Saita, we discover that there are certain things that the Saita that are done through the Kayin, and there are certain things that are done by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So why is that? So he explains that whatever she did with her body, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and gave us, she's punished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Things that are not part of her body, so she that wasn't created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish her with them itself. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the coin. Anyway, El Saw, we would think that this is only applicable by a saw, by a big avera. Menayel Rabbis, how do we know? By a tarkov, a chatzi tarkov, kav, chatzi kav, roiva, a chatzi roiva, tumen, that's a very small keli, uchla, menayin, that whatever type of avera was violated, that's the way we are punished. Tamaloymer, ki kol soin, soin barash. Whatever somebody does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that into consideration when he punishes him. Umenayin continues the Gemara. Shekol pruta pruta mitzdarefes l'cheshbon gadol. That even if a person did an avera and he wasn't punished, but they accumulate and he will be punished ultimately for his averas. Tam loimer achas l'achas l'mtzoyz cheshbon. Everything is combined to come to be accounted for. Says the whenever came at sin of a saita, and the best example is the saita. The way she behaves, that is the way she is treated. She stood outside Liris Loy, that people should see her. The Kohen takes it to the Shah Nikna, Umara Kloina Lakol, and her embarrassment is seen by everyone. He personally stood in Nile Roisha. She put on nice clothing. Lafika Kain Nital Keeper Maroshoi, the Kain cuts off her hair, head covering, Omnichatakhs Regla, puts it by her feet, and everybody could trample on them. He kushed the Pana, she put on makeup, Lafikach Pana Marikas. Part of what happens to a Saita is that her face turns green after she drinks the Maya Mamorim. He kochla ina, she put on eye makeup, Lafikach Enea Boltois. Her eyes will start to bulge. He called her Sarah. She made up her hair for him. Lefika kain soisa Sarah. The kain undoes her hair. He harris la be'etzba. She showed him with her hands, with her fingers to approach her. Lefika tzeperenea noishreis. Her fingernails fall out. He chugra la be'tziltzel. She put on a nice belt. Lefika kain mevichevel a mitzri. The kain brings a terrible rope. The kosh la malam adadawa. And puts it on top of her clothing. And even though we learned that the main point was, we learned in our previous year that her clothing shouldn't fall, but the way it's done is a lesson to remind her what she did. He pushed her sirecha, she opened up herself to have an improper relations. Lefika chirecha nefelis. He kibbles her kresa, he was with her. Lefikach bitna tzava, her stomach will swell. He chelasa madani olam. She gave him to eat the finest foods. Lefikach kabana, the carbon minchas of a saita, is machal behema. We bring it out of barley, which is what was used for animal food. She gave this man to drink fine wine in nice glasses. Lefikach kai mashka mayim amarim. That's what the kain gives her to drink, the mayim ma'ara. The Mayim Amarim, Umekida Salcheres, in a earthenware cup, which is very inexpensive, very cheap. And the Chinuch says that another lesson from using a Klicheres is that a Kli Cheres breaks easily and goes back to the earth. And saying to her that she will go back to the earth. And I saw the Rabbeinu Bechaya actually takes it even a step further. That not only will she go back to the earth, but everyone in Mitzvah Shem will have Tchiyas HaMesim, but she will remain in the earth. For this horrible sin that she did, she won't have Tchiyas HaMesim. He also b'seiser, she did this Aveira surreptitiously. Yosh b'seiser Elyon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Yoshev b'seiser Elyon, Samba upon him, will pay attention to her. Shenemar, v'ein noyev shomer nefesh, leim lo tishurini ayin. The adultery thinks that no one sees him, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does see everything and will do what he has to do. And the Rashi explains that what does Samba Panim mean? Panim means attention. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol turns away from everything he's doing to pay attention to him. The Mashah, Tahar, this Baal Aveira. The Mashah has a different pshat. The Mashah says what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is that this woman has relations with a man that she's not supposed to have relations with, and she then gets pregnant from that man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that the child that's born from that inappropriate relations looks like the adulterer, and she won't be able to hide from what she's done because everybody will see by the way this child looks, who is he product of. Says the Gemara Dava Acher, he also b'seiser, she did what she did in the secret, hamak kamperesim b'begoli, what she does will be revealed publicly. Shnema tchas asinah b'masun tigla rasa b'kol. And the Gro on the Sefer Ein Eliyahu explains that these two versions of explaining the pasuk is a machlokes based on the machlokes that we've had previously already in our masechta. The machlokes of Shimon Rebbe, if a soita has chuyus, do those chuyus help? Rebbe's opinion was that the schus does work. And that's why he says that Yosh b'seis elyon sam paneha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays attention and will do what he thinks is appropriate. Reb Shimon, on the other hand, says prism begoli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu right away punishes her for what she's done. There's no time to wait. We learned before that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges people from Mida Keneged Mida. And we started by learning that from the Pasuk Koheles, Me'achad Nafkalon, because the Pasuk says, Me'achas L'achas Limtzei Cheshbon. So ask the Gemara if that's the source for this Limud, Son B'sa Rash Lomeli, why do we need that Pasuk? L'Kamida, to teach us that he's punished the way he did the Aveira. Says the Gemara, why do we need this pasuk as well? Answers the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not punish a nation ad shas shilucha, until the time comes for it to leave the world. When the time for that nation to leave the world comes, that's when it's punished. Any, is that true? Ask the Gemara. The three cups that the Sar Mashkim saw in his dream, Lama, why would there need for three cups? One represents the punishment that Mitzrayim suffered in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Achas Shasos Paran, that when Nebuchadnezzar came to destroy Mitzrayim, the achas shall see the lishtas and chereser, that it will suffer in the time of Mashiach. So we see from here, asked the Gemara, that a nation could be punished and still continue to exist. V'chi tema, so says the Gemara, maybe you'll say the hanach azdu, that the Mitzrayim that were punished, that we find three different times in history that the Mitzrayim were punished, are three different nations. V'hani achrininu, says the Mara, that can't be the fact. Because Vatanya, the Brisa teaches us, Om Rabbi Yehuda, Minyamin Ger HaMetzri Hayoli Chaver. Rabbi Yehuda says, I had a friend who was Minyamin, who was Ger HaMetzri. And the Torah says that when we speak about the Mitzri, Dar Shlishi, only a third generation can come into Klal Yisrael. So what he said, this Binyamin was a Mitzri who became a Ger. He said, Ani Mitzri Rishon, I'm a first generation Mitzri. V'nosati Mitzris Rishonin, and my wife is a first generation Mitzris. Now, Esi El Bani, I will marry off my son to a Mitzri Shniyah, because he can't marry a regular Jewish woman, so that my grandchild will already be a third generation Mitzri, Kedei She Bini Mutar Lavo B'Kol. But the Gemara's question is that if the Mitzrim all perished, as the Gemara is suggesting, so then the Isser of marrying a Mitzri should no longer exist. Eli Itmar, says the Gemara, because of this question, says the Gemara, Hachi Itmar. This is the way to understand what Rav Chanan about Papa taught us. Amar Rav Chanan about Papa, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifrim and HaMelech. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish the king at Shilas Shilucha, until the time for the king to die comes. Shnema B'Sasa B'Shacha Tevarenu. Says the Gemara, Amemah Masa L'Hadra Rav Chanan about Papa. Amemah, however, taught what Rav Chanan about taught. The pasuk says in Malachi, "My diksiv, Kani Hashem loy shenisi, ve'atem b'nei Yaakov loy chalisim. Ani Hashem loy shenisi, loy kisi le'uma. I haven't punished a nation, v'shenisi loy, and punished them a second time. Ve'atem, however, you Klai Yisrael loy chalisim. I punish you, but I don't punish you to the degree that you should be completely destroyed. Hayin diksiv." And that's what the pasuk says in the Teichacha. Chitzei akala behem, chitzei kolim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that my punishment will end. However, v'heim einam kolim, Klai Yisrael will remain forever. So, and the Ein Yaakov explains why a Klai Yisrael treated differently than all the other nations of the world. Because Klai Yisrael have the schus of us. Klai Yisrael, and moreover the morale says, we, a Klal Yisrael, are connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And since Kadosh Baruch Hu stays forever, we, Klal Yisrael, who are so connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, will also remain forever. I saw that the Mefarshim explained, the Pasuk says, Atam Nei Yisrael, the Gemara says, Lekisilumi v'shenisilai, v'atam Nei Yaakam lechalisim, says that all the other nations of the world, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes them, they're getting punished for what they've done, and they deserve punishment for what they've done. Whereas Klal Yisrael, the entire purpose of the punishment is shenisi, is to just make them do better. And just that's the entire purpose of the punishment. And as soon as shenisi, as soon as Klal Yisrael does better, we will no longer be suffering. Amar Rav Amnuna, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifrim Min HaAdam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish a human being, Ach Tismal Sasa, until he's done much of it that he deserves punishment. Shenema B'loy Sipkoi Yetzalai. When he fills up his fill, that's when he gets punished. And the Sefer Kava Yosher explains that sometimes a person, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats him that way, doesn't think about doing tshuva. And sometimes it's good that he should get punished, even a small punishment, because that will cause him to do tshuva. Darsh Rav Chanan about Papa, Maidik Siv, Ranu Tzadikim B'Hashem, La Yisharim Novasila. Al Tikri Novasila, that the Yisharim are the ones that should praise Hashem, El Novasila, what they built, sings Tehillah to Hashem. Who does that mean? What does that mean? It's a Moshe David. It refers to Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech, Shloi Soltu Sonem V'Maseim. Anything that they did remained forever. David, the Ksiv Torah Ba'aretz Yireh. David made the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, and they remained forever. They got sunk in the ground, but they exist. Moshe, Dama Ma'am, Mishnev the Mikdash Rishon, Nignez Oil Moed. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was the one that constructed the Oil Moed, and the Oil Moed was buried. Krasov, Brich, Vamudav, Adonav. Hecha, where exactly are they buried? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Ravimi, Tachas Mechila Shel Chechel, under the tunnel of the Hechel. So the Farshim point out why specifically the David, Amelech, and Moshe Rabbeinu have this. So they said, because a person is not here forever, And since a person is not here forever, what he creates doesn't remain forever, says the Gilyon Yashas, Rabbi Yosef Engel. But David Melech, which the Pasuk says, David Melech Yisrael Chayv Kayom, and Moshe Rabbeinu, who we're going to learn about him, it's Hashem Adaf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, lives forever. So since they live forever, what they created lives forever as well. So the Sefer, so the Ein Yaakov asks, why is David HaMelech mentioned before Moshe Rabbeinu? Shouldn't we have mentioned Moshe Rabbeinu first? He came before Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Ein Yaakov says that by David HaMelech, we know that that was the case based on a pasuk. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, we only learn from Messiah. So the Gemara first teaches us what's taught in a pasuk. The Ben Yehuda explains that David HaMelech was saved through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the same way, and as we're going to learn, and that's why David HaMelech is mentioned first. Another teretz that the Ben Yehuda offers is that Moshe Rabbeinu, what he created, should survive forever, is obvious. It's the great Moshe Rabbeinu. That David HaMelech, it's a bigger chiddush that David HaMelech, what he created, stays forever. That's why David HaMelech is mentioned first. And Rashi says that David HaMelech's sha'arim were saved, that these sha'arim that were made out of copper, silver, gold, certainly the enemies would have wanted to take them, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented that they shouldn't be taken. And the Mashal explains, we remember that when they brought the Aron, the doors did not want to open because of covet for Hashem. Because these doors showed such tremendous covet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why they weren't destroyed. Tana Rabbanan Saita Nosna Einav B'Misha Ein Aroi Loi. The Saita looked at somebody who she shouldn't be looking at. Mash Biksha Loi Nitan Loi. We know that Halacha of a Saita is that she may not marry her Baal. And Mash B'Yada, what she still had till now, Nitla Mimenu, she loses because, of course, she can't marry. She cannot remain with her husband. If somebody tries to be jealous, tries to get something that isn't deserving to them, what they want they lose, what they want they don't get, what they already have, they lose. The Chemet Sinu, and says the Gemara, we find similarly the Nachash HaKadmoni, with the story of the Nachash and Chava. He wanted to ultimately marry Chava. He lost Chava. What he had, as we know from Parshas Bereishis, originally the Nachash, the snake, stood like all other animals, tall. Not Mimenu, he lost. He crawls on the ground. I originally said that the snake should be the king of all animals. And now he's the most cursed. I originally said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yehalach becomes Gufa, he should stand tall. Now he crawls on his belly. He should eat the same food as we do. Achshav of Yechel. Now he eats dust. Hu ama erges Adam versus Chava. His plan was to cause that Adam should die and he could be able to marry Chava. Achshav eva oshes beinecho bein isha. Actually, he becomes the enemy, the arch enemy of a human being, bein zaracho bein zara. The Maral explains, why does a person lose what they have when they look at what they're not supposed to do? So the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us our eyes to see good things. And if the person uses their eyes for the wrong purpose, then they deserve the punishment to lose what they have. Rashi says, Chumash says, that what was the Nachash plan? That the Adam will eat from the Eitz Hadas and he'll be able to marry Chava. And what? Because the Adam Rishon will eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he'll die immediately. And since he'll die immediately, Chava won't eat, and then the nachash will be able to eat. Says, ask the achronim, what made the nachash confident that Adam will eat from the Eitz Hadas first? Maybe Chava will eat first. So the Guri Arye says that Chava, who was the first wife of a man, certainly showed respect to her husband, and therefore, since he showed respect, he was certain that she will make that the husband should eat first. Din Yaakov gives a different teretz, because the Nachash was under the assumption Adam HaRishon heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he may not eat from the Eitz Hadas. And if he'll eat from the Eitz Hadas, he's certainly deserving of an immediate punishment of death. Chava had never heard directly from Adam HaRishon, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And that's why the Nachash was convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not kill her immediately. The Ben Yoyada gives a different teretz. He says that Chava was at that point already pregnant with Cain and Hevel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, thought the Nachash, would not kill Chava, that give her a chance to live until her children were born. Adam HaRishon would be there, who obviously wasn't carrying these children, would die immediately. Says the Gemara, became a Tzina, the Kayin. And says the Gemara, the same thing we find with Kayin. What caused Cain, says the Gemara, to kill Hevel is because Cain, we know that with each of them, Cain with Hevel, there was a twin sister born, and Cain wanted to marry Hevel's sister, and because he was jealous and wanted to have her, ultimately it caused his death. Similarly, became Korach. The same thing we find with Korach. Korach wanted to have the kahuna, which wasn't deserving, which he wasn't supposed to have, and what he got at the end was that he was swallowed up in the ground. Well, Bilam, the same thing with Bilam. Bilam wanted to curse Klal Yisrael because he was promised a fortune from Balak for cursing Klal Yisrael, but instead of amassing that fortune, he lost what he had and he died a young man. Doeg was a great Talmud Chacham, and he was jealous of David, and what happened was, he ended up with a terrible end. Achitofel, that wanted to be the king, and at the end, he lost everything. Gechzi, who was the Talmud of Elisha, and Naaman, who was a Metzora, came to Elisha to help him get cured, and indeed Elisha gave him the cure. And then he wanted to give, Naaman wanted to give Elisha money, which he refused. Gechzi then went and got that money. And what happened was, Gechzi became a Metzora and lived Mechutz L'machna the rest of his life, not enjoying that money in any way. Avshalom wanted to have the Melucha of David HaMelech, and at the end, as we're going to learn what happened to him, he ended off terribly. Adoniol wanted to have Avishag HaShunamis, the wife of David as a wife, and at the end he got killed by the directive of Shlomo HaMelech by Ben Yoav Ben Yoyada. Uzziah, the king of Yehuda, he wanted to be the king, and he wanted to bring the Kohen, and he wanted to bring Ketores like a Kohen, and at the end he became a Metzora. Haman, who couldn't be happy, he wasn't happy because Mordechai, everybody was bowing down to Haman, just not Mordechai, and he couldn't deal with that. At the end, we know he got hung on the tree. All of them, Nostra, Neim, Masha, and Royalahem, they all wanted something which wasn't supposed to be to them. Masha Bikshu, what they wanted, Loi Nitnulahem, Masha Biyodim, and what they have, Nitnulahem. And the Sefer Chaim, a Sefer that was written by the brother of the Maral, says that this is what Chazal mean when they say the kol ha'roidef achar kavod, ha'kavod bereich mimanu. Somebody who's running after honor loses the honor. But again, honor is something that if you're deserving, you will get. And if you're not deserving, not only will you not get it, you'll have just the opposite. So we learned in the Mishnah regarding the Saita, V'yara chesko b'aveira. She did the aveira first with her thigh, and that's why she's punished with the thigh first. Ask the Gemara, not Amili. How do we know that that's how she's punished first? So the pasuk clearly indicates that first the thigh is punished. The ksiv, but ask the Gemara, doesn't the pasuk say the tzav sabitna for nafli yirecha? So this pasuk speaks about the stomach first. Amar Abayis, to which Abayis responds, kilayit, when it comes to when the kohen curses her, layit chiliyarek. First they curse the thigh, for had the beten layit, and then the stomach is cursed. Umay kibatki, however, when the water, the mayim ma'arim, start doing what they're supposed to do, kirchai batki, they follow the person's system. And when a person ingests something, beten bereshe, first it goes into the stomach, v'adi reich, and then it spreads to the rest of the body. Ask the Gemara, but that's not true, because b'klola namik siv, litzis betel nafal yerech, the pasuk speaks about the stomach before the yerech. Says the Gemara, who the moide le kain? What that pasuk means to do, says the Gemara, is that the kain is informing her that even though when she did the aveira, she began with the yerech, and then it went to the beten, what's going to happen to you if you are found guilty, says the kain to her, the beten reisha, the first your stomach will be affected, ahad yireach, and why does the kain inform her of that, that she shouldn't come to question the validity of the mayim amarim. Says the Mishnah, Shimshon holach achra einav. Shimshon followed his eyes, and he married any woman that he thought was beautiful. Lefikach nikru pleshtem es einav. That's why ultimately his eyes were poked out. Shenem v'yachzua plishtim v'yirakus enov. Avshalom, this guy b'saroi, Avshalom had beautiful hair. Lefikach nitla b'saroi. He ultimately was hung by his hair. Lefikach nitla b'saroi. Lefishabo alasa pelikshe aviv. And because Avshalom had relations with 10 of his father's when he was killed by Yoav and his people, 10 spears were thrown into him. 10 na'arim threw spears at him. He stole 3 things. Lev aviv lev bezdin. He fooled his father, and he also fooled Bezdin. What happened was, Avshalom asked from his father that he should give a directive that he could pick 2 people to accompany him. And what he did was, he took this piece of paper and showed it to 2 people. Then he showed it to another 2 people. And that's how he amassed so many 200 people that should follow him. And all of those people that followed him were Rashi Sanhedrin. So that's what the Gemara Mishnah means when he stole the heart of his father and the hod of Bezdin, and he also stole Lev Yisrael. They said that he tried to convince them to follow him in his rebellion against his father. Lefikach niskaboy shloish shvatim. The pasuk says that he was hit with 3 sticks. Shnem v'yikach shloish shvatim bekapoy v'yiskei b'lev of shalom. It says the Mishnah, the chein linyan atova. Till now we spoke about bad things. Now we're going to speak about good things. Miriam waited for Moshe Rabbeinu, and all of this will be explained in Mitzvah and the Gemara. When he was in the river, that he was put into the river, Miriam Tesatzev, she stood there waiting for him. When she became Mitzaras, Klai Yisrael waited for her, Shiva Yom Midbash. Nemar, V'amlai Nosa, the people didn't travel out of Esef Miriam until Miriam got well. Yosef Zoch Likbas Aviv, Yosef was the one that buried his father. V'ein Ba'achav Godl Memela. No one was greater than him. Shenemar, V'yal Yosef Likbas Aviv. Yosef, even though he was such a great person, he took out the time and the effort to bury his father. As the Pasuk says, V'yal Yosef Likbas Aviv. Yal imoy gam grachav gam proshim. Milon gol me Yosef. Who's greater than Yosef? Shlenis asked by that who was involved in his burial. Elam Moshe. The Inyan Yaakov explains the why isn't the Mishnah mentioned the story of Yosef before the story of Miriam, because the Mishnah first wants to speak about person getting reward in this world. Miriam was rewarded for her good deed in this world. Yosef was only rewarded after he left this world, and therefore we want to show that you're going to be rewarded for doing a good thing already in this world. So the Rashi points out not that Yosef was the only one that buried his father. Certainly all the Shvatim joined in the burial of the father. But what the Gemara means to say here is, what the Mishnah means to say is that Yosef, who was the king, used all of his honor and glory to bury his father. So the Inyan Yaakov asks, but we also find that Yitzchak was buried Avram Avinu. So why is that not mentioned? And in fact, the Medrash says that because Yitzchak buried Avram, Yaakov buried Yitzchak. So the Inyan Yaakov answers that since Yishmael participated in the burying of Avram, and Esav participated in the burial of Yitzchak, that's why it's not mentioned in the Gemara. Another teretz I saw is that of course a son is obligated to bury a father. So the Yitzchak buried Avram and the Yaakov buried Yitzchak is something that's obvious that they had to do. But Yosef could have buried Yaakov Avinu in Mitzrayim. Or Yosef didn't have to give all the honor that we're learning to Yaakov Avinu. That was more than was required. And that's why he got this extra schar. Moshe Zachabatmus Yosef. Yosef, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, took the bones of Yosef with him throughout the entire time of the Midbar. Vein Yisrael B'Golmimenim, there was nobody greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, V'yikach Moshe Atmos Yosef. Umi Golmim Moshe Lainas Asukboi, when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, who was involved in his burial? Elah HaMokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Shnemar, V'yikba Oysa B'Gai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried him in Gai. And says the Mishnah, Lo Yam Moshe B'Vad Amru. This isn't said regarding Moshe Rabbeinu alone that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu buries him. Rather, Al Kol HaTzadikim. Shnemar, V'holach L'fanach HaTzadkecha, K'vayr HaShem Yasvecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that buries them. So if that's the case, so what makes Moshe Rabbeinu special? So Mashah says that all Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that takes away their neshama. But the actual burial is not done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu not just was taken away from the world by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Moshe Rabbeinu was actually buried by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another teretz that I saw is that not only was Moshe Rabbeinu buried by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Moshe Rabbeinu neshama remains tachas kanfei Shechina. Or another pshat that I saw, that Moshe Rabbeinu was zoicha, that he was nifter with Mises Neshika. Not all tzaddikim, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the neshamas, but they die with Mises Neshika. Moshe Rabbeinu died with Mises Neshika. In order to begin learning the sugya that we're going to learn now, the sugya of Shimshon, we need to give the background. Shimshon, as the psukim in Shoftim teach us, lived in a time where Klai Yisrael weren't acting appropriately, and they were under the authority of the Plishtim for 40 years. At that time, a Malach Hashem appeared to Manoach and his wife, who was in a Kara, and said to her, "You will have a son who will be save Klai Yisrael." And he told Manoach's wife not to drink wine and not to come in contact with Tumah, because this child will be a Nazir Elokim Mibetan, as we discussed when we learned Masechta Nazir. The child was born, Shimshon. The Pasuk says, V'yivrcheu Hashem, v'tochel ruach Hashem l'famoy, ben tziroi l'ashtol. The Pasuk then continues to tell us that Shimshon went to the city of Timnas, and he saw a woman, and he wanted his parents to take her for a wife. The parents didn't understand what Shimshon's plan was. But Shimshon's plan was to ultimately use this as a way to destroy the Plishtim. And they saw that Tim Shimshon actually ripped a lion to pieces. And what happened then was, Shimshon's parents saw this as a sign that this is the woman he should marry. But the father of this woman refused to give her to Shimshon as a wife. And Shimshon then went and burnt all of his property. Then Shimshon, continues the pasuk says, went to the city of Azza, and he had relations with a Zayna. And when the people in Azza knew that Shimshon was there, they closed off the city and they wanted to kill him. And what they did was, there was this woman who he lived with that enticed him and got him to share, as we're going to see in the Gemara, the secret to success, which, as we're going to learn, we know was his hand. Here. Tana Bonim. Shimshon be'ein of Morad. Shimshon's downfall began because he looked at what he wasn't supposed to look at. Shnam of Yom Shimshon, as we just learned, Shimshon says to his father, Oisik kachli ki yishora be'einai. This is what my eyes saw, this is what I want. L'fikach, says the Gemara, mida k'negim mida, nikru plishtim einov, his eyes were poked out. Shnam of Yechzor plishtim, v'yinakru es einov. Ask the Gemara, eini, says the Gemara, v'ksiv, v'avu v'ima loyodu k'me Hashem hi. They weren't happy that Shimshon should marry this woman, because they didn't know that this was Hashem's plan. So isn't this a proof that he wanted to do the right thing? Answers the Gemara, he wanted to do the right thing. However, when he came to choose a wife, ki ozo mir basi yeshus ozo, he didn't choose a wife strictly that he should be able to use that marriage as a way to do the right thing. He chose her based on what he saw with his eyes. And that isn't the behavior that's expected. Tanya Rabbi Omer, Tchilas Kalkula Ba'aza, the first place that Shimshon did an Aveir was in the city of Azza, L'fikach L'akach Ba'aza. That's why he was punished in Azza. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, V'yelech Shimshon Azosa V'yersham Isha Zoyna, L'fikach L'akach Ba'aza, the Ksiv, V'yirida Oysa Azazoy, that the Plishtim poked at his eyes and took him to Azza, and that's where they put him into change. Asked the Gemara, Vaksiv, but doesn't the Pasuk say Yerit Shimshon Timnasa? And then he came to Azza. So we see that the trouble began in Timnas. Says the Gemara, however, Tchilas Kalkulami Ba'Azza Haya. He might have seen her in Timnas, but he actually did marry her in Azza. The Yachri came, V'yav Isha Banachal Soirek, Ushma Dalila. Says the Maratanya Rebbe Omer Mala Nikra Shema Dalila. If not that her given name was Delilah, Ruya Haishish Tikra Dalila, it was a name that was most appropriate to her. Dildala is Kaicha, she caused that his strength should be weakened. Dildala is Liba, she stole his heart by him revealing his secret. Dildala is Masav, she deprived him of his good acts. And the Gemara brings a psukim for each one of this. Dudla is koicha, the ksiv yasa koicha me olav. Dudla is libai, the ksiv tar delela kihigala is called liba. Dudla is massive, the stalik shechina menei, the shechina left him, the ksiv hula yada kashem sar me olav. Rebbe explains what, the Mashah explains, why does Rebbe focus on her name? Because Rebbe is focused that all the other women that we see that Shimshon had a relationship with, we don't see that the name is mentioned. Here, we say her name is mentioned. And I saw the Mefarshim go on to explain. We know that the Pasuk says, Shem Rishayim Yirkov. The names of Rishayim should be let to rot. And why does the Pasuk, therefore, mention her name? It must be to teach us this lesson. Din Yaakov asks that we look at the order that's mentioned in the Pasuk is actually, the mention in the Gemara is out of order. Because first, Dildala Liboy, and then afterwards, he lost his Kayach. Says the In Yaakov, that indeed, she first was Dildala Liba, and then Dildala Kaycha. But what it means is that the Dildala Kaycha is mentioned first, because we say that, why do we know that, why was she successful to Dildala Kaycha? because Dildaloy Liboy. She first was able to entice him, and once she enticed him, that's how she was able to get what he was. And I saw from here that what did she do? She got him to reveal a secret. A secret is the definition of what you are. There are certain things that are private that only you are allowed to know. Once you reveal that, you are robbed of your independence. And once you're robbed of your independence, you end up as Shimshon end up. The pasuk says, "V'tar delayla ki higalos kaliba." She kept on asking him, "What is your strength based on?" And he kept on telling her different answers which weren't true, until he told her it's because of his hair, and she saw that's the truth. Menayada asked the Gemara, "How did she now know that this was the truth?" Says the Gemara, "Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rebbe, Nikaron Devar Emes." The truth is always noticeable. Abai Amar Yada Babayis a Tzadik, the Loimapik Shem Shemayim Levatala. She knew he was a tzaddik, and when he revealed that it was because of his hair, he said the word. He said Hashem's name. Kimin the Amar Nazir Alakimani. When she used Hashem's name, Amar she knew Hashtavad the Kushta Kamer is saying the truth. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says Vehikit Tzikaloi Bedvera Kol Yomim Vatalseu. She forced him. How did she force him? Asked the Gemara. By Vatalseu. Amar Rav Yitzchak Debei Rav Ami B'Shask Ma'Bia. As he wanted to finish the bia, Nishna Mitachtav, and that left him frustrated. Vata, the Malach says to Shimshon's mother before he was born. Vata Shemino. What was that dvar tamei that she's not allowed to eat? V'su ad hashta dvarim tven ka'achla. Are we going to suggest that Shimshon's mother ate non-kosher food? Amar Rav Yitzchak Debei Rav Ami, dvarim asurim benazir. She was told that since he's going to be a nazir, that's why you already, his mother, may not eat foods that a nazir may not eat. V'yifal kimas hamakdish. The pasuk says that Shimshon, after he attacked the plishtim with the jaw of a donkey, he was very thirsty, and he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a nace for him. What is the nace? The pasuk says V'yivaka kimas hamakdish ashebalechi. Amri Yitzchak Devei Rav Ami, who evil adavat tamei. He wanted to do some marry non-Jewish women. That's why he was saved with the jaw of a donkey, a non-kosher animal. Who? And says the Gemara, "B'tachar ruach Hashem, Amar Rav Chama b'Chanina, Cholson nevuas Yaakov avinu." At this point, when Shimshon started attaining his tremendous strength, the nevuah of Yaakov Avinu was becoming fulfilled. The Ksiv, the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu said to Shevadon, "He don nochash ali derech." The fama b'machna don Amar Rav Yitzchak Debei Rav Ami melam sheshchina mekashkeshes lafanav kazug. The shchina was ringing in front of him like a bell. Ksiv hacha lafama b'machna don, and it says regarding the big day kuhuna of the kohen gadol that he wore at the bottom of his clothing Pamoin v'rimoin bells. The Gemara says, the pasuk says it happened by Tzir ben Ishtol. Amar Rav Yosef, Tzir ben Ishtol, Shnei Harim Gedolah Hayu. They were two large mountains, Ve'akram Shimshon, and Shimshon, with his tremendous strength, uprooted them, V'tachten Zeh B'Zeh. V'u Yochad, the pasuk says, that the Malach told Shimshon's mother, V'u Yochad Lashias Yisrael, Amar Rav Chama B'Rav Chanina, Huchal, Shvuasoi shall Avimelech. Avram Avinu had made a shvu to Avimelech that he won't do anything to his children, and Avimelech made such a shvu to Avram Avinu, and at that point, that shvu was nullified. Iksiv, Avimelech told Avram Avinu in Tishba Lil Anini Lanechtei that I make a shvu that my descendants will not do anything negative against you. And here they began to do so, and because they began to do so, the entire shvua became null and void. And since it became null and void, that's why Shimshon could take Nekama, could take revenge on them. So the Mashal points out that Shimshon, as we said in our introductory remarks, was not the authority of the Plishtim over Klal Yisrael did not actually begin with Shimshon. It began before. So why is the Gemara saying that it happened at the time of Shimshon? So Masha says the level of domination of the myth of the Plishtim over Klal Yisrael was not complete. It only happened at this point when Shimshon during Shimshon's lifetime.